Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you very much. Clap your hands for them. Clap your hands for them. The people at the back, you're not clapping. I'm watching you. I can see you. And the people here, you don't like clapping. I'm watching you. Here, you're also not clapping. I can see everybody. If you can see me, I can see you. Are you glad to be in church? Are you grateful that you are in church and you're not coming from a nightclub? Last night I was telling some men that I had a meeting with after church that some of them, they don't even understand what is going on in the world today. And I give them the example that now the latest thing is that there are nightclubs that function till 11 a.m. in the morning. So there are places you go to at East Legon at 6 a.m. People have now arrived at the club on a Tuesday morning. Oh yes. So like, as we are here now, there are nightclubs in session. I don't know whether we won't call them nightclubs anymore. They are clubs. So you should be grateful that you are not partying somewhere with four boys around you dancing lewd dances, holding a cup of Jameson whisper. You are here in church.
Yes.
Doing something useful with your life.
Oh yes.
Working on your salvation to arrive in heaven. You ought to be excited. The people at the back are still very calm. That's why I'm still talking.
Yay!
That's why I'm still talking. I'm telling you. If you think that being in church, you know, some of you, let's not lie, some of you, you were compelled to come here today. It's also part of it. But I pray for you
that
the day will come where Jesus, you will understand by yourself why you should be here and why you should not be compelled. But I'm telling you that whether you came by yourself, you were compelled here, I'm telling you that you are in the best place you
can ever be. Yes.
Best place.
Come on.
Best place.
Yes.
Best place.
Yes.
Some of you, it is being here this morning that has prevented a useless boy from finding you.
Yes.
I mean, as we are speaking, he's knocking on your door in the house, and an elderly woman is telling her that, Oh, sorry. She's gone to church. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have come to find you. And you know what happens when he comes to find you. That nonsense that you have been doing when he comes to find you. So I expect you to be excited, to be grateful, to be thankful to God that you are sitting amongst the saints. You are part of the body of Christ sitting here this morning. Abba.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I said,
Oh,
you
ought
to be grateful for your salvation. You ought to be grateful for your salvation. You ought to be grateful that you are about to be ministered to by an anointed vessel of God.
Come on.
You ought to be grateful.
Yes.
I'm telling you that there is nobody here who will sit under the sound of the anointed man's voice and go away the same. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you. Something you may not know, but something in you will change.
Amen.
I said you may not know, but something in you will change.
Amen.
Your skin color will not change.
Yes.
Your height will not change.
Yes.
Even the shape of your nose will not change. But I'm telling you, your spirit, something will
change.
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
So when you come to church, arrange yourself well.
Yes.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. Arrange yourself well.
Yes.
Let there be some joy bubbling in you, some excitement.
Come on.
You remember that you can move from a bad place to a good place.
Yes.
God has taken you out of the fiery clay and set you free of all of us.
Yes. Yes. Oh yes.
Ah. I won't speak again because the sound people, they are rationing the sound. I don't know whether they want me to. But I'm telling you that I want to sense gratitude.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm about to introduce
Ajay,
man of God. But hey, when you are behaving, I can't bring him. I cannot bring him.
Come on!
I can't bring him.
Hey.
It's as if you don't understand why you are in the church. What are you talking about?
Rocket.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Ah.
Listen, me, I've been a worker in the church. Mm. A church rat. Church boy.
Come on.
From the age of 17 up to today.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy that I did. I said I'm very, very happy that I did.
Yes.
I said I'm very, very happy that
yes.
I did.
Yes.
I'm better off than all my peers who didn't do that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. If you arrange yourself. You're in a privileged place.
Mm.
Yeah. Then I'm telling you, you're in a privileged place. Mm. Ideally, you should pay money to be here. Mm. I'm telling you. Yeah. Some of you already, you can see that now your mother even talks to you with respect. But just by listening to the preach, some sense is coming
to
you.
Look, yeah.
Today,
come on.
We are about to hear the voice of God.
The voice of God, yes.
I'm telling you, God is about to speak to us.
Oh, yes.
The words may not be pleasant.
Mm.
The message may not be. Yes, I told the church that we are privileged to have a pastor who preaches to us the truth and the word of God, irrespective of whether we like it or not. But many pastors today are preaching what people like. They are feeding people on sweets. But I thank God that we have a pastor who preaches the word of God and the truth to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how excited you are. I don't know how excited you are. I don't know how ready you are.
Yes.
But it's time to bring up the gift of God in our house. If you are excited, you can make a noise.
Yes.
If you are excited, you can clap your hands.
Come
if you are excited, you can jump around.
Yes.
And join me.
Yes.
And let's welcome to this party, the Bishop Edwin Morgan. Oh God, come on. Make some noise. Make some noise. Make some noise.
Prophesy. Work it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Oh, yes.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, speak to us.
Oh, yes.
Minister to us.
Oh, yes. Jesus.
Touch our lives. Cause us to experience you in a special way.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's good to see you in church today. And I want us to turn our Bibles to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Is there anybody here who believes in Jesus? Is there anybody here who believes that the words of Jesus are the words you are going to meet on the day of judgment? Is there anybody who believes that when you read the Bible, like I see the Bible in Bishop Kobe's hand, you are looking at past questions? Do you know that the Bible in front of you is past questions? That these are the words you are going to meet when you are being judged. There's nothing else. It's not only West African Exams Councils that gives past questions. You are looking at past questions. God is not a wicked God. Satan rebelled against him and he punished him because he is a rewarder. Even right from heaven, Satan was determined not to go alone. By the time he arrived on earth, he had successfully swept one third of angels, the angels. And as he's here, he's looking for people to join him into the lake of fire that was prepared for him. So anyone who does not enter into heaven, eternal life, goes straight into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The coffin cemetery death is the first death. And anyone who enters the lake of fire has begun the second death, which is eternity. That is why you must not think God is joking when he tells you to be born again. He's not joking when he tells you to give your life to him, because there's a judgment ahead. There's a judgment ahead. So when he says something and you don't take him seriously, you'll be surprised to find that he was serious. I don't know if we have that now, but when we were in school those days, we used to have the West African Examination Council, not past questions, but curriculum. All the things you must study. Do you still have it? The things you must study is written in a book. You still have it. Okay. So when you hold it, you may think they are not serious. Oh. But when you go to the exam room, you remember that or you may not remember, you may see a question that you can't answer, and you say that they have set difficult questions. But when you go out of the room and you check the curriculum, you notice that they said that you must study electromagnetic waves. It is there. 2AIII. So you're not taking the curriculum seriously. That's not really change what is ahead of you. The law of God is here looking at you. This is it. This is a past question. Your happiness will not change it. Getting first class will not change this. Being very sad and very depressed from your only auntie's death will not change this. Going through a bitter divorce will not change this. Cancer of the pancreas will not change this. Suddenly becoming the president of Ghana will not change this. Being very happy. Being a virgin. Having had your wedding yesterday. It's called the immutability of God's word. Immutability. It does not mutate. You know, people change based on circumstances. God is not like that. Yesterday we read a story of a man who threw a party. And the people he invited did not attend the party. So he sent his servants to do a second round of mobilization. And there they went to the highways and the byways and the smugglers and the cocaine addicts and weed smokers and all that. And they managed to get the whole place full. Just before they ate, they began to eat, the master of the house entered the banquet hall. This master of the house, remember, don't forget that he was the one who needed people to sit in his banquet. Remember that this master who just came in is the one who sent invitations, and a lot of them did not show up. Remember that this is the man who sent his servants again to go and bring everybody, showing you that this man we are talking about needed people. He needed people at the banquet. But Jesus' story is that when the man entered the banquet hall and he was about to sit down, he noticed somebody who was wrongly appareled, who was not in the right attire. If I were the one telling this story, I would have said that he just would have pretended that he hadn't seen the man, because he needed people to come and eat. The man stopped, pointed to the guy wearing the wrong dress attire, and asked him that, what is he doing? What are you doing here? Wearing what you are wearing. Because if you read the Amplified Bible, you will know, you will learn that the clothes they were wearing had been supplied at the door. Everybody was given something to wear outside, and that man chose not to wear it. But if I was the one who needed people, I would have said it's nothing. The man instructed the banquet owner, instructed the servants to bind the man's hands and his feet, and they threw him out into outer darkness. You see, what I'm saying is that God doesn't change his rules. He doesn't change his expectations of you. He has never lowered. If he sets a standard, he doesn't lower the standard because it is you. There's nothing like that in the known scriptures. A man came to him, very happy, whatever, ruler, young man, young ruler, rich man. He said, please go and sell everything and come back. Today, we are looking at a commandment. Take me back to the commandment. It's in the same chapter, by the way. Yes. The story I told about the man who was bundled out of the banquet hall. It's also in Matthew 22. Take me to that one. That story. Yeah. How did you come in here without wearing the wedding clothes that were provided for you? And the man was speechless and without excuse. A day will come, you will be without excuse. Your poverty will not be an excuse. Your prosperity will not be an excuse. Your happiness will not be an excuse. You will be speechless. And it is in this same Matthew 22, down, that somebody came to ask him, which of the commandments is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Because there can be a Lord who is not thy God. If you are really serious about making this Lord thy God, then thou shalt love him with all thy heart. All thy soul. All thy mind. Some translations and some other verses will say, all thy might and strength. All. It will be very painful to have a boy you have allowed to be in your house, and you find out that he is also sleeping with your wife. He's having an affair with your wife. Please tell your neighbor, God doesn't want to share you with anyone. You see, the boy in the house is a trusted house help. Or is a trusted somebody. God God has allowed you to have that job. He has allowed you to bring a wife in. He has allowed you to bring three children in. He allowed it. He has allowed you to bring a business in. But he didn't allow the business to come in to compete with him. You may not know, but there are people who cannot get pregnant with a human being.
That's right.
If he has opened your womb to have three children, I'm telling you today, the children did not come. He didn't allow the children into the world he has created for you to compete with him. That is why I just finished preaching a message called The Narrow Way, Part 2. Go for it. You may want to read with me Luke Luke 14. King James. I'm ending very soon. 24. 25. Luke 14:25. Now it says that, and there went great multitudes with him. Jesus has never made it easy. A pastor's dream, a teacher's dream, is to turn and see that crowds are following him. When Jesus turned, he saw crowds. One day he turned and saw crowds. And it hit him that these guys are hungry. He provided food. Every leader's passion is in having crowds. Every leader. In fact, if he's a correct leader, he would want crowds. The Bible says that the honor of a king is in the multitude of the people. Any king with a few people has no honor. Honor is linked to size. Get up from there. You also have 10 minutes to get out from there. When a king has few people, he's not respected. And sometimes it's not just people. When a king rules in a place where nobody has a job, there are no industries. The kings with industries, they laugh at them. In fact, you must lose a sense of shame to be an African president. Yeah. A certain part of your brain should be bent. For you to be a leader of dust. So, the honor of a king is in the multitude of the millionaires. The multitude of decent nobles. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. But in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. So a king always does things that increase the number of people following him. If you are interested in being a king, a proper king. A real leader of a bar center or a fellowship or a church, like me, a pastor of a church, the things I am doing are to bring in more, because the more people, the more honorable I am. Including Jesus. He began with 3 disciples. By the time he was finishing, there were 400. When he died, and they were voting for a replacement for Judas, 120 came. But in the beginning, there were 3. In fact, it was somebody and his brother. Then a third person joined. Before we knew it, the man had organized 12 of them into his main leaders. The increase of numbers is a king's honor. So Jesus was walking and he turned and saw a great multitude of people. Listen to what he told them. He has never made anything easy. If you are having it easy, it means you have chosen the path to destruction. The road to life is not an easy road. When he turned, verse 26, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, you can interpret it in 1,000 ways. It ends up with hating your father. These are the English words. And mother. And wife. He said wife because he was talking about a man. If it was today, would have said, if any man come to me and hate not his husband. You see, I'm telling you that he just allowed you to have a man in your life. That's why I'm talking about that guy somebody has brought into his house. And he's having an affair with his wife in the house. And because the man himself is a weak man, he's not a strong man. He's a certain type of person. Maybe he even knows. He doesn't care. Because there's a time you don't care anymore. But I'm just saying that he didn't bring the guy to the house or allow him into his domestic arrangement for him to take his wife also. God didn't bring you a job. He didn't allow a job into your house, into your life to compete with him. Are you married, mommy? Yeah. Are you aware there are women who are not married who also love God and God also loves them? Or you think that every woman has a husband? Uh-huh. So you have got a husband because God blessed you with it. But the man did not come into your life. God doesn't expect that the man will compete with him. Why? Because he expects that you love him with all your heart. All. Anything short of all is a competition. And he's a jealous God. He doesn't like triangles. God gave you an interest in mathematics, not so that mathematics will compete with him. So now you have to do your PhD. So since he has made you a pastor, you have to leave Ghana and go to Norway to do your PhD in maths. He doesn't like competition. So he said, anybody who is coming to love him must learn to hate his father, his mother, his wife. His children. The pregnancy, 9 months pregnancy, and the baby, you should be ready to hate that child. With respect to God, your relationship with your father should easily be like hatred. His children, you are my daughter. You are my daughter. You are my son. You don't have any idea. The love relationship that exists between father and son. You don't know. That I should hate my son? You don't know what you are talking about. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. And his brothers, this is my sister, my younger sister. This is my big brother. I should learn to hate him. For Jesus. Ah. And ye. His own life. His own life. I'm preaching the gospel message to you.
Amen.
And I'm leaving it to you to take it home and flush it in the toilet.
Yes.
it is not, God is not against the job you have. But if because of that job, you are ashamed to identify with him, you can't attend weekday services because you are a CEO now. Because you go to Turkey every month. So the anointing he gave you to pastor a church has been relegated to a second-hand leader. Then his things come. You cannot be his disciple. Take it. Believe it. Or leave it. Today, I'm engaging you on the platform of God's expectations. He said, If you are bringing love, if you want to love me, then all of your heart. I created marriage. I said, husbands, love your wives. I didn't say love your wives with your hearts. Your heart is a special place. It's where your life comes from.
Wow.
It's not a place to bring a job. It's not a place to put a job. It's not a place to put a woman. It's not a place to put a man. Your heart is not a place to put children. It's a special place. Your life comes from your heart. That heart, we guard it. I went to visit a couple in this state. Ah, the man is here. He's here. I was going, this is a couple of years ago. I've just been there recently. And I still saw it. As I was entering the sitting room, I saw a room with number. What do you call that access code with numbers? You have to key in something and you enter. What do you call it? Security panel, whatever those things. Jacobi knows those things. So I asked, "What is this special room? Is it a man himself or the wife? Oh, it's my husband's study." Or the man said, "It's my study." Password on a study. It's not a place that children come there. Even I don't go there. It's a study. He's here. I've seen him somewhere.
Wow.
So even in our own little jurisdictions, there are islands we don't allow people to enter. Your heart is not a place your wife enters, or your husband enters, or your job enters. It is a sanctuary for God. It's a sanctuary for God. It's a sanctuary for God. Love your wife. I love my children. Very, very deeply. Obviously, the heart is not the only organ of love. There must be something else you can also use to love. He doesn't like it at all. Once he sees that your heart has entered your job and he can't get you to send you, he can't get you to do outreach, he can't get you to be a normal member of a church. I mean, like, you are so big, your money is so big that it's like you can't hang around. No. It means your heart has gone into it. So Solomon's mother advised him never to give the heart to women, even if it's your wife. This is Solomon's mother. It's the Bible I'm reading. And to that which destroys kings. So all I've been doing is trying to guide your heart. Towards God, while still loving your children. I told you last week, the Lord kills. The Lord, He's a killer. He says to you, give yourself completely to Him. It means be ready to drop the bottle at His behest. I mean, you love Him so much that you will drop the bottle. Abraham was so much in love that he left his father. He left his mother. The only person he took along became a problem for him. Your heart. Those of you little girls who have already begun to see money in national service. So you cannot even be a shepherd in the church anymore. My pity is with you. It's with you. National service salary, 580. You are going to stand in front of God, and He will tell you. That's what I said. I don't know. You can also call it a Bible. It's a Bible. But I will advise you to call it Holy Past Questions. Holy Past Questions. Holy Past Questions. You see, he said, we strive that we may be acceptable one day. It will be painful. For you, I mean you, not him, you. To stand before God one day and you say, He didn't know you. Can you bear it? Only way to prevent it is to respect Him and respect what He says. That's why the people He will say, enter my rest, you go, are the people, if before He says enter, He will give the reason. One is good. Number two is faithful. Wow. You didn't change. Nothing could take your heart. Nothing. It didn't change. If you don't hear good and faithful, you can't enter. Only faithful people like David, who are so rich, but it doesn't change how they dance. Many of us, including me, if we get 1,000th of David's gold, I don't know if there's somebody listening to me. If there's no one listening, then I should end the message. I don't know if there's anyone listening to me. He said, I never knew you. He said, never means that you started wrong, you continued wrong, and you ended wrong. Because as far as you are concerned, you could share God with things. He says, I don't like it. I'm jealous. I want you to go and have that convention. I know you are tired, but I need you to preach in that service. Don't stay at home. You see, anybody who wants to love God must hate not just his wife or his daughter, but himself. There must be a certain dislike. It's as if you don't like yourself. This week, I am preaching my 9th service. Each of the services is around 3 hours. This is my 9th service this week. So when he sees people who are trying to save themselves, save their marriages, preserve themselves, they look very, very, very wonderful to him, because he has already written it in English that those people who try to save, to secure themselves, will be surprised that there's nothing to secure. Rather, the people who gave up themselves, who live as if they don't love themselves, they rather have it. I remember I was in a church pastoring. Some of the members, this type of rich people, rich, old members, unserious, unspiritual members, were saying that I'm acting irresponsibly. On Sundays, because I was going home at 12 midnight or 2 a.m. on Sunday, I should be a responsible father to be in my house and take my children through homework and help to even be with my wife, and the children to help them, to be with them, to help with homework and academic things and so on. Today, recently, I was asking about the children of one of them. We don't know where they are.
Come find them.
Some have created some glassy bubble around their children. There's nothing inside.
Wow.
Those who give up. You see, I'm saying to you, for my extreme right, the brother standing at the end there, and the brother standing at the back there, everybody will have a chance to hate something you must love. For Jesus. And when you take the Bible, you will find verses that will tell you to love that thing the church wants you to hate. God wants you to hate. There's a scripture that says, love your wife. And the Jesus is saying, hate your wife. Sir, you cannot follow God if you lack the ability to hate your children. And those who hate their children will end up having them. Give yourself, all of yourself, to God. Oh, He can take care of you. When you give Him 98% and you keep 2, you are saying that you don't trust Him with all. So you have left to, just in case the 98 fail, you can get some 2 to secure your backup. Plan B. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I've given you 7 things. How to give yourself holy. Believe that your life is in your power. Don't say somebody is in control of your life. Give it. Number 2. Direct all your life to loving Him. Or work as a nurse, but you are loving God. Be a rich man, but you are loving God. Number 3, build all your friendships around Christ. That's what it means to give all your heart to Him. When you say Him, what is Him? Where is God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It's not Bishop Kobe we must love with all our heart. It's not Bell Aqua Water we must love with all our heart. It's not this $5,000 mobile phone we must love with all our heart. It is God we must love with all our heart. Is this who?
God.
It is God. So, where is He?
Where is He? It's a question. Teach us.
Oh, you just came from London. Was He in London? I'm looking for God. Where is He? You won't mind me. Ah. You won't mind me. Mommy, where is God? You don't know where He is. He's with us. God with us. To give yourself wholly to God without leaving 1% to the world. Or build your friendships. Around Christ. So any friend who doesn't like Christ cannot be with you. We can work. Send a document, we'll sign, have the meeting, go on a private jet to King Tampo for the annual GM and all the thing. We are working. But say, friend, my friends are around Jesus. You cannot be around Jesus. You cannot be my friend. So if you have got friends who are not around Jesus, then you have stepped out. Step out. Step out. I feel I should stop the message. Because Good Friday is there. We must go and mobilize. It's a difficult message to preach because it's difficult to move from one point.
Take your time, sir. Take your time. Take your time. Take your time. All your friendships. All.
In the book of Acts, the people of the way, which we call today Christians, you call people of the way. All their relationships were around church. Which is actually the next point.
All your activities.
The fourth one is activities. One is friendships. The other one is activity. I'm talking about this person who is 100% heart. All the activities. So you see him in the hospital, earning money, working. He said there's an engineer is there. But those activities are still Christian activities. He was to be an engineer and be stealing cement. Cement we are using for the road, you have diverted some to Danfa. Engineer. 2 a.m. you have brought 2 Aboboya. Engineer. Ha. Engineer Forson. Aboboya. Activities of those who are wholly sold out for God. You see Christ everywhere. Activities. You see that as he's in theater, a call has come from his Basenta member. Yes. As he has worn her a gown or robe, is going to court. He's on the phone with a shepherd that the song they sang last Sunday wasn't right. Connect me. Meanwhile, he has got his document. He's going to meet the judge. Connect me to the keyboardist right now. Put David on. David, were you at the rehearsal? And your clients are wondering, is this a lawyer? Or I mean, who is this? Which rehearsal is that? I said, please, I'm coming. I'm coming. Why? How many rehearsals did you have? Then they come and say, oh, the judge is ready. Wait for me. I'm coming. I said, David, what? How many rehearsals? McCaffrey wasn't there. Add McCaffrey now. And your client is wondering. Conference call. When a Muslim is in court, you know he's a Muslim.
Oh, yes.
Even the beard and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you know he's the one. You are a fake plastic Christian. You are not real. And you wait. Jesus will tell you he never knew that you were even a Christian. Number 5. Your life itself is built around the church. How do we know your life? You are making it difficult for me to preach. I've got 30 points. I can't progress. It's been 2 weeks. I should relax. They are not marking the message. I should just flow. Okay. Then since you are the pastor, I'll do it. Anybody who doesn't dwell in the house has not built a life that is around Christ. Your primary aim is to build a life that revolves around Jesus. Not that Jesus is revolving around your beautiful life. And to have a life that is around church activities and around God, it means that church must be in your life every day. Every day, church.
Every day, church. Read Acts. Say, you are a theologian. Was it not daily? Am I? It's false. It's a false gospel or it's true? Daily. Acts 2. And they continued. No, not this. Daily. Is it 44 or something? Yes. 46. King James. Yes. And they continuing. Many of you, after this service, you are going to go on break till next week, Sunday. I'm not talking about you and your prayer life. Oh, church. Church. Not God, that you read your Bible at home. All of us are in touch with God every day. But I'm talking about church. This is church. This is church. Every day, they were either in the church for one kind of service or the other, or they were meeting in Yao's house and TB's house every day, as in 7/7. They were not meeting in church every day. But the church, because the church is not chairs. I want to stop this preaching. The church is not speakers. The church, I'm saying that they were not in church every day. They were either in church and or somebody's house. That's why I said from house to house. So your life as a Christian, go to school, go to work, be in the bank. But a part of your day must be a church life day. Either in the church for a prayer meeting, rehearsal, church service, miracle service, you're in Auntie B's house, Brother Yao's house. But 7 days, you never cut yourself off church members for 7 days. That is the person whose heart is holy, sold to God. Why? Because you can never have a relationship with God without the context of his house. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in your house forever. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 6, I will dwell forever. So, your brand of Christianity, where you appear in a church, give an offering, nod with acquiescence at the pastor's diatribes. And when you close, you are done. Many of you sitting here, we will never see you anywhere. There's no underground, there's no house, there's no farm, there is nothing church will see you. You won't appear anywhere till next week, Sunday, so that you are sitting here. If we are even lucky that you come. And mine is to talk to you. I thank God. If I've not met anybody, I've met Bishop Kobe. Because he's part of church. Where two are gathered is church. You're not real. You're not real. I mean, local league, local. This is my fifth service. I'm preaching my fifth service. You've not appeared in any of them. This is the only one you're appearing in. And all the services are in this church. One down there, which is part of this church. It's like you are like some submarine.
so that they are without excuse. Your poverty, your busy life, your pregnancy, your first class education will never explain it away. You will never escape. God will never look at the uniqueness of your circumstances and lower the standards for you that these guys are bringing 100%. You, because you are a busy class teacher and you go for international whatever, let me give you 98 or 87. We'll sort it out. All. You are non-believer. This is church. Yeah, I like the verse they have given me there. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his power, so that they are without excuse. It's true. The things that are made, I can see. Like politics, like working in the bank. I hear now, even banks, on Saturdays, they go for funerals. In fact, I traveled to Kumasi on Wednesday. I went with a bank, one of the, I don't want to mention the name, about 10 of the staff. I was at the gate and a brother came. Oh, Bishop Ogo, Bishop. I said, hey, how are you? I don't know you. I said, oh, I know you. I know you. Can I take a picture with you? I said, why not? So I got up. I said, where are you? So we are in this bank and we are going to the forest to some mining concessions. I thought bank there is in the building. You collect money, you fill a form, you say, you go on visitation. Bankers are going on visitation. A Christian sister, you have never spent your fuel, your time, your energy to sit in somebody's house, not because the person owes you or the person is marrying your son or the person needs whatever, but just I'm visiting you. I'm a church worker. Never. The things we see around. Help us to understand how to work with God. So nobody, and it gets worse when I'm preaching to you in English. You have no, tell anybody, you have no excuse. You can pretend you don't care. You can pretend my mother has died or my father has died. I just got divorced. My son died. Or I am like this. My miscarriage came last night. Hey, nobody is without excuse. Number six is what? What the last one? You cannot point to people. You have given. I'm going to write the points again properly. This is some JHS person who has written the book. If you cannot point to people and things you have left behind to follow Jesus, then you have not given all of yourself to him. To follow Jesus, sir. Oh, sir, is it madam? Is it sir or madam? Madam. To follow Jesus, there should be friends you have broken off with. Or things you have stopped. Is this your phone? Whose phone? Show me the music on it. It's off. Yes. Always it's off. Hello. I'm ending. I know you don't like me. I know you don't like the message. But listen to me. Anybody who cannot, in fact, you can't even boast. Something you should do. Make your boast in the Lord.
can you boast?
When you cannot point to anything, any life you have forsaken because of Jesus. Any type, brand of books you don't read again because of. Say because of. Because of. I can't hear you. Say because of. Not because of. Because of. Because. Not because. Can you point to something you stopped? I'm preaching the gospel to you. He said, Master, we have left some of the things to follow you. We have left what? Most of the things we've left. Read. Everybody read. It's on the screen. Sorry, our LED screen is coming soon. But you read. One, go. One, go. No, no, no. Start by saying Luke 18. I can't hear you. Start again.
Luke 18:28-29.
Again.
Yes.
Then Peter said,
Lord, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife children for the kingdom of God's sake.
Next verse.
Lose shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come. Life everlasting.
Everlasting life will never be handed over to people who have left nothing or some. Yeah. Three men were feeding you. As you were feeding them, you've left two, remainder one. There is nothing like remainder one or remainder two. You, how many things are you supposed to leave? How many unbeliever songs are you supposed to leave? How many pornography sites are you supposed to leave? How many fingering boyfriends are you supposed to leave? Today too, I didn't finish. Next week, inshallah, we shall continue. The pastor says I should take my time. Stand to your feet and take over, sir. I will say it. I said, I will say it. I'll say it. If you don't like it, don't come. The title of the message is Give Thyself Holy. You can clap your hands now.
I ask you to take hold of me.
Sing it, baby.
Jesus, take hold of me. I'm holding nothing back. I'll give myself to thee. Although I may not know just for the future.
Keep the words.
Ask you to take hold of me.
All of me.
Jesus, take hold of me. I'm holding nothing back.
had forgotten that this was our church. So come and just remind me that it's our own church. I always thought we were renting it. Oh, then I'm relaxed. But why did I think we were renting this for? Clap your hands for this pastor. He's a very good man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Clap for him. I'm encouraged by as I listen to him.
Jesus said, oh, me.
And his wife, she also sang.
I'm holding nothing back. I'll give myself to thee. Although I may not know just what the future holds, I ask you to take hold of me.
Play it, baby. Do it. It's working.
Just for the future holds, and I ask you to take hold.
Take it higher now.
Redeemed and King's Choir with Bishop Kobe here. 20 minutes after church. Exactly 20 minutes after church. Here. Close your eyes, please. What a beautiful service. I'm really encouraged by Bishop Kobe's attitude. Sometimes I feel I don't preach well. So I'm encouraged by him. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you've heard something today. Jesus doesn't like 78%. It's only in the University of Ghana that 92%. Is first class. But God is 100%. Take it or leave it. It's up to you. But those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he will reward every effort you take to come closer to him. And as every head is bowed, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, lift your hand. I'm going to pray and lead you to come close to Jesus, to make him your master, your Lord. Pastor, I want to walk with Jesus. Lift your hand. If you want me to pray this simple prayer with you, lift it high. I can't see your hand. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want him to come into my life. If your hand is up, come to me here in front. Come here. Come here. I want to pray with you.
Can I ask you to come here? I want to pray for me.
If there's no one, then that's fine. It's all right.
What do you want? Sorry?
I want to surrender my life to Christ.
Is there anybody here who wants to join him? You can come now. This is the most important decision you will take in life. No decision in life is higher than this one. If you want to join this boy, come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. There's a girl in the congregation. God is calling you. There's a girl. A young girl. God is going to do great things with your life. But it starts with this decision. Is she coming? Is that girl coming? Is that girl? That female? Come on, baby.
Jesus, take hold of me. I'm holding nothing back. I'll give myself to you. Although I may not know just what the future holds, I ask you to take hold of me.
I just heard that a girl wants to commit suicide. I was just told. And she's here. And God is saying to you, come to me here. My telling you is to show you that God is interested in you. But she once again, to come or not to come, it's up to you. I'm waiting for you. You are suffering from depression. The first step to take is salvation. There's a girl here. I'm waiting for you. Don't come and see me after church.
Just for the future.
Say this after me. The whole church joining. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
Today.
Today.
I give myself to you.
I give myself to you.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
I want to love you.
I want to love you.
I want to give you my life.
I want to give you my life.
Please receive me.
Please receive me.
Make me your child.
Make me your child.
I'll make you my master.
I'll make you my master.
I'll make you my Lord.
I'll make you my Lord.
I'm going to start.
Start
walking with you,
reading
my Bible, obeying you, serving you. Thank you today for my life. In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Ashes. Ashes. Are you related to Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson, join them. These pastors are going to visit you. I said they are brothers. They were also like you. Even in church, they were wearing Bob Marley t-shirts. But God changed them. He changed them. And the life they are enjoying, has your something died? The life they are enjoying, they will help you to enjoy that life. They will visit you. They will tell you, they will teach you from the Bible how to be a Christian. Michael Jackson, which of them will you visit? Any of them? Visit this one. So, sir, take them. Michael, go with him.
You have not come to church, eh? You'd have made a big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Hey! You know, as Bishop was ending the message, the question that came into my mind was, so without such a teaching, how would we ever have understood how to give ourselves holy? That's why the eunuch told Philip, he said, how can I understand? Except a man explain it to me. We are only on number 7. Oh. 3 Sunday, we are not able to cross number 7. So how would you and I have understood how to give ourselves holy? That's why I told you that. You are extremely privileged to be in a place where there is an anointed servant of God. He speaks the mind of God. He speaks the truth to us. You may not know it, but the things you are hearing in these messages, they are very rare. Whether in Africa, Asia, Australia, pastors don't preach these things anymore. I'm telling you, I've told you before, it's very difficult to look at a congregation and preach these messages. It's very hard. You don't know what it means when you are preaching and people are quiet. Yeah. It's very difficult. But I thank God that we have a pastor who, week after week, God's gift to us here in the Living Bread Cathedral, week after week, is sharing with us the heart of God. The messages, sometimes they are hard though. They are hard because some of you have a trusted buddy from childhood, but she has not been inside a church in the last 7 years. You know it as you are standing here. Trusted buddy, you are with her. When she has a problem, she calls you. When you have a problem, you call her. She has not darkened the doorway of a church in 7 years. Neither does she own a Bible. As we are talking, she's sleeping. In an hour, she'll get up and dress and go to the beach. That's your trusted party. The rest, I will not say it. It's up to you. But I want you to clap your hands one more time. But I tell you, you have heard the message of a lifetime. Today's message is like every week is wilder than the previous week. Bishop, wow. I was just telling Pastor Benji that I don't see how we are going to progress beyond the 7 points because... Even this one, we have not really gone into the point. How many of you can tell that we have not really entered the 7 points well? Like today, we didn't really enter number 6 and 7. We have not entered number 6 and 7. But Bishop, God bless you for hearing from God and telling us the mind of God.
Yes.
Yeah. And teaching us. I'm learning an awful lot. I'm learning an awful lot. An awful lot. When they say give thyself whole, I thought the scripture was simple. Clap your hands one more time. Oh. I don't even know what to say. What are you talking about? And take your communion bread. Let's take the communion.
Take it, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life.
Lift up your bread.
For my flesh is meat indeed.
If you have bread in your hand, lift it up. I want to see God. Last week I told you to come to church with your bread and your wine. It was not last week that I said it. So if you have your bread, lift it up. I want to see those who did it.
That's the communion of the blood of Christ.
It's better today. The people in my group, my column here, you didn't mind me, you see.
It's the communion of the blood.
Now listen. One of the things that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ reminds us of is that God is not into halfway things. He gave his all. He gave his all. He gave his only begotten son. And that son came to die for us. So much so that they even pierced his side for all the blood to drain out. So that there will be no doubt that he had given everything. Then he himself, he spoke and said, now it is finished. It is finished. The blood is finished. The energy is finished. The life is finished in me. I've taken all the disgrace I can take. He gave his all for our sake. Today, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a grace is coming upon
you
to follow God with your whole heart, to give yourself wholly. That one day you will also be able to say that it's finished. Everything in me, I have given it. The body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Eat it.
Yeah, I will pass over you.
The blood signifies the life. As the blood drained out of the body of Jesus Christ, it meant that he had given his entire life for our sakes. Today, as we remember that sacrifice on the cross, may you also give your life entirely, wholly, that one day when you stand before God in judgment, you'll be able to say that I have finished the race. I've given my all. I've given everything in me. The blood of Jesus Christ.
When I see the blood,
drink it.
Oh, when I see the blood, yeah.
Lift up your hands.
I will pass over you.
May everything that holds you back from giving yourself wholly, I curse that thing now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every voice that speaks to you and convinces you to hold back a part of yourself, I curse that voice now in the name of Jesus.
When I see the blood,
receive grace.
Yes.
Receive mercy. I said receive grace now. Receive mercy.
Yes.
May you one day be counted among those who gave themselves holy, holy, holy. Now I speak over every part of your life that you have withheld from God. I declare now that you are releasing it unto the Lord. I said you are releasing it unto the Lord. You are releasing it unto the Lord. Every part of your intellect that you have withheld from God, I declare now that you are releasing it. Every part of your energy that you have held back, I declare now that you are releasing it unto God. You are giving yourself holy. Receive grace to give yourself holy. To give yourself holy. To give yourself holy. Yes. Father, we thank you for your body and for your blood.
receive grace to give ourselves holy, O God. As you speak to us about giving ourselves holy, Lord, help us. Have mercy on us that we will not be found wanting, Lord. We want to give 100%. Help us, God. Have mercy on us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a loud hand clap, and you may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.